Today on Faith Matters, we are going to talk about serving in the church, how God has built us to serve. We're going to hear from John Gardner, my wife Linda, and Jenny Wash on some specific opportunities. I'm Dan Jarms, and this is Faith Matters. In Faith Matters, we talk about issues for Faith Bible Church, things that we want to know and things that are affecting us as a church and can help us as a church. Also, from time to time, we'll be talking about broader matters of the Christian faith. Well, today, since we are talking about service, there are a couple of core scriptural texts that really help me in thinking about it. One of them comes from Ephesians chapter 2, after that great verse about being saved by grace through faith. It talks about what we're saved for, or I'd like to say saved to. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Mm-hmm. So God has given every person a set of good works to do, and we are to find them every day, walk in those. And that's going to include service in the church, service outside the church, mm-hmm. service in the community. Today, we want to focus on serving each other in the church. Another one of the key things that I go to often, it has to do with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which talks about a multitude of spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get proud about the kind of gifts we are, or there's a reverse pride. There is a poor me or a pity, like I don't have great gifts and other person has
great.
I'm
not the pastor. I'm right. Just a loser.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything to do since I'm not preaching. And why I love 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that it says we're all necessary. We're all baptized into the church by the Holy Spirit. We're all, Paul would say, members mm-hmm. of it. And so we are to serve each other in it. And 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God has appointed," and then he lists off a series of gifts. And what you want to do in all of those is use your gifts to love. And so 1 Corinthians 12 leads into the great love chapter, 1 mm-hmm. Corinthians 13. No room for pride here. It's only room for love. You want to use your gifts in the church to build other people up to know Jesus and to serve their needs.
Yeah, and that's just that beautiful picture that displays to the world what the church is all about.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's part of that love and unity that shows the world that we're disciples of Jesus. So today we're going to have an interview. I did an interview with John Gardner and my wife, Linda, about service. We'll get into that in a minute. But right now, Seth's got some announcements for us, some things for us to be thinking about.
All right, so we've got a couple things coming up that we wanted to let you know about. First is not this Sunday, but next Sunday, July 25th, is our church picnic. So we get to do lunch together after church.
Yay.
It's going to be fun. There's going to be a slip and slide.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, either you can go on the slip and slide in your Sunday best, mm-hmm. or you can bring some swimwear and do
or
that.
Or just send your kids.
Or just send your kids. That's probably what
that's
most of us will
good.
Do. But
yeah.
I think you should do the slip and slide, Dan.
If you remind Linda to bring, I'll do it.
The church is going to be providing hot dogs, bags of chips, cookies, water bottles, ice cream, but we're also encouraging people to bring their own food. It's totally, totally fine. We're not actually going to be doing like a ton of hot dogs. So if everyone just relies on hot dogs, it probably actually won't be enough. So some people need to bring their own food. There'll be enough hot dogs that everyone could probably have one, but most people aren't going to fill up on one hot dog. So, but yeah, it's going to be a really fun time. There's going to be slip and slide games, all sorts of fun stuff, and it'll be a good time of fellowship. Nathan did mention to me that they're still in need of some more helpers for, setup, tear down and grilling. So if you like grilling, you know, let us know. You can email us at info@fbchurch.org if you're interested in volunteering to help with that. The second thing is, our college students are going to be going on a camping trip July 28th through 30th. So that's not next week, but the week after, I believe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the rest of the church, we can be praying for them that that time would be fruitful and encouraging.
It's going to function like a retreat for them, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Jared wanted me to mention that there are scholarships available. So if you, if you're a college student listening and you need a scholarship, you can just contact him at jmilliken@fbchurch.org. So if you're a college student listening, get signed up at fbchurch.org/retreat as soon as possible.
Well, today we want to talk about membership and service in the church, caring for one another in the church. In the studio with me is John Gardner.
Hey, everybody.
And my wife, Linda.
Hello.
John, why don't you talk a little bit about the variety of gifts and what you've been thinking about in how people go ahead and get connected in the church. So we committed as members. Now it's time to serve somewhere in some way. How do you think about that?
I think that the Bible, when it describes everybody having different gifts as a pastor and as a ministry director, that gets me excited because it's my job to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, which tells me that I get to help them figure out how to use their unique gifting to do kingdom work. Mm-hmm. And kingdom work is just another way of saying service. When people are using the gifts God has given them for the purposes that God gave them those gifts, then it is really a fulfilling thing. It makes our church more effective in all of our various ministries. It helps us to be a healthy body that's functioning well, and each person working hard together in an area that brings them joy helps us just present Christ well in a number of different ways.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It's the diversity of our gifts that makes us healthy.
And there's definitely certain gifts that are more visible. Mm-hmm. And that 1 Corinthians 12 passage talks about that. You know, if everybody's a preacher, then that's a really dull worship service, and we're not doing anything else. God has given us so many different gifts and so many different ways of manifesting the love of Christ as the body of Christ, that it's really fun to see everybody serving where they're gifted.
So there are a variety of opportunities to serve in the church. And as a pastor, we're often thinking about, you know, music ministry or children's ministry or youth ministry. And we kind of think in the structures that are set. And I want to talk about the informal ministry in a minute, but how do we help people think about the specific needs to help the structures of the church work?
Sure. I think the first thing that we want people to do is to commit to the church and to commit to their own discipleship, with serving being kind of a next step after that. But it's through those first two steps, through just participation in the life of the body, participation in growth groups and ongoing discipleship, that other members of the body are able to help us discern our gifts and also to point us to those opportunities. People who have been serving in various ways can say, hey, you know what? I think you would be really great in this role where there's a need. Part of it is as staff and as elders, we need to do a good job of just letting people know what the various opportunities are. Just communicating over and over. Here are all the different ways that you can serve. Let us help you figure out where you fit best.
Yeah. So in that sense, it's part of that discipling process where mm-hmm. we're discipled to people. See our gifts and our abilities and our history, our experience, and they say, why don't you try this? One of the things that's a joy for us, but it's also interesting, is sometimes we just say, hey, we need these things. And often the same 10 people are like, oh, I'll help in that. And they want to do all of them. And that's really sweet. But really, if it's engaged with other people who know you well, then you can kind of lean towards something you're really gifted in.
Sometimes you don't really know what you're gifted at in the church until you just start stepping in and you take a step of faith and you you try different areas where there's, you just try to meet needs. And we're all called to serve and meet needs, whether we're particularly gifted at it or not. And God gives, I think, extra grace for that too. But the more you jump in, the more you can see maybe where the Lord has given you special gifts and abilities in that particular area, and where you find more joy and maybe more fruitfulness. And people around you can confirm that you are really gifted at this, but you never really get to find that out unless you just take a step and maybe risk maybe not being really great at something and then trying something else. But the church is a really great, safe environment to just jump in there and try teaching a Sunday school class or cleaning the church or whatever it might be, or leading a women's Bible study, or coming up with something creative for young moms, or something for singles. Think outside the box. Just try it, and prayerfully do it, and do it in light of the mercy and grace that you've received. And as you do, you'll become more and more skilled at serving the Lord in how He's gifted you. The thing that I'm doing currently, I wake up and I just remember that it says that there are good works laid out for us that God has already planned for us to walk in. And just going into whatever service, super prayerful and saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to do to serve you? We're all made to serve. That's where we flourish, is in our serving. So God will guide as you do it prayerfully.
What about informal serving? So we talked about the structures of the church and serving there. How do you think about informal serving and meeting needs that are not part of the structures but part of the relationships?
You know, Nathan talks a lot about the importance of being known. I think as we are engaged in relationships within the body, we see opportunities to serve one another in really informal ways. You know, just the other night, we saw somebody who had come to us in the morning with a need for his home. And then in the evening, somebody else says, hey, I've got this. Do you know anybody who needs one? And being able to make those connections, a third church member kind of mediated and got these two people together to meet a need. Some of those, you know, service opportunities, it's a one-time thing. God just, I believe that the Lord ordained those circumstances, but I also know that we had three different church members who were all engaged in relationships and just being around one another, helping make those connections and allowing people to serve. And so a lot of that is just being, living life the way that we're called to live as Christians in the context of the body just brings up things like that all the time. Sometimes that leads into more formal, more regular serving opportunities. Sometimes it doesn't need to.
But we're still serving.
Like, absolutely.
It's that day-by-day prayerful, all my resources, including my time and my abilities and talents, are to serve God and God's people and the lost. So I'm just looking.
Right.
I'm aware and looking.
And you know, you mentioned Linda's gifts in hospitality, which, you know, Laurie and I have benefited from that greatly. Many gifts like that, a lot of those things just come up through relationship. But, you know, there in that 1 Corinthians passage, the gift of hospitality is in the same sentence where it's laying out, you know, the gifts of teaching, the things that we tend to think of as more formal opportunities to serve in the church. They're just as important. They're different gifts. They're different parts of the body. And a lot of people's gifting suits itself more towards, you know, gifts of mercy and compassion and hospitality. A lot of the ways that we serve are things that just kind of come up as we do life together.
I think of ways that we've been ministered to informally. Someone hears that we're sick or that maybe we're just having a rough week, and just a text from a friend, and it takes so little time to send a text with a scripture that says, I'm thinking of you and I'm praying for you today, friend. That is a very, very easy and profoundly encouraging way that we can minister informally. I remember years ago we heard also the GO principle. I think that's been floating around Faith Bible Church for a long time. If you hear of somebody who is suffering or sick or sad or lonely, if you're kind of wondering, if the question pops in your mind, what should I do? If it's all possible, always lean toward GO. Asking the Lord, what does that go look like right now? Does it mean saying, hey, I'm going to watch your kids so you can just go for a walk for a minute if it's a young mom? Praying that the verse, administering God's grace in its various forms and thinking outside the box in ways that we could, what is the bottom line? Just show sacrificial love to others like we've been shown, and hopefully like we're reminding ourselves every morning, what kind of love have we been shown in the gospel? And even last Sunday, we saw the picture of Christ enduring to the cross on our behalf at a cost that's unimaginable for us. And so that's what gives us the fuel to minister informally in various ways as we have a posture where our hearts are ready and our eyes are looking. And for me personally, I sometimes love my little schedule and my little planned out day, and I'm not always ready for the unplanned opportunity to serve. And I've failed at not following through on serving because I've liked my schedule more. But being ready also to give up our little plans so that we can love and serve others informally.
Why is it a joy to serve?
Because it's what we're made for. We're finally operating on all cylinders in what we were created to do and be.
Yeah, yeah. I think, what's a river made for? You know, it's made to flow. Mm-hmm. So that's us. You use that illustration.
We don't want to be stagnant ponds. And man, we have so much poured into us. We sit under teaching of God's word. We listen to a million podcasts and we hear all the latest books and we read all the latest books. But if we're not repeating it to somebody in a word of encouragement or serving somebody with all that we have learned as a way to tangibly live what we know really doesn't have a lot of eternal purpose. And we know a man who says, I want to live a life of eternal significance. And I think that significance is lived out as we serve one another and give to others what we've been given as we look to the gospel for our source of strength, as the stream that flows through is the gospel.
I enjoy seeing God's purposes fulfilled. It's kind of what Linda's talking about. You know, we talk about the word fulfillment, basically meaning things being used for their designed purpose, and that brings us fulfillment. That brings us joy. And serving is just a great way to do that.
Yeah, I think of, because we were thinking about this before, I think of John 15 talking about the abiding principle, abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit, and therefore prove to be my disciples. And this is, therefore my Father is glorified, that you would bear much fruit. And so that fruit is certainly could be fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, but it's also the fruit of good works. So when we're really abiding, meditating on Christ and praying, out will flow service, and then that service flows into joy. He says that so that our joy would be made full. So there is joy in serving.
And our joy is connected to becoming more like Christ and being sanctified. I see our biblical counselors trying to figure out how to help somebody, and I watch our counselors grow like crazy because they're serving and they're pouring out. And it's just really sweet to see. That's God's purpose in our discipleship. The one who serves is the one who grows the most. The one who teaches is the one who grows the most. And growth isn't just for the purpose of growing so we can all have big heads and be smart. It's so that we can be conformed to the image of Jesus, which we're all heading towards that final sanctification. That's the goal.
That's good. So I've done the spiritual gifts sermons, and there's always somebody who comes up to me who's really wanting to serve, but life circumstances are making it really challenging. A health circumstance, a young mom with now 4 kids. Like there's certain times where I can't really be involved in the structured service, and I'm just kind of hanging on in the informal. What encouragement, John, would you give to somebody who says, I'm hearing you, but it's hard for me right now?
We all have different seasons of life. You see that in scripture where people are serving differently at different stages of their lives. There's different times and seasons for all manner of things. For folks who are in the situation that you're describing, one of the greatest ways that we can serve one another is through the ministry of prayer and encouragement. We tend to overlook the significance of prayer. But if that's all you ever do in serving the church, you're doing a whole lot. And we need that. So that would be an area that literally anybody can do at any time is to pray. We have opportunities that we put out there for, you know, ways that people can be praying for the church and for the ministry. That's not just a token thing that we toss out there. That is the primary work is through prayer, because ultimately it is Christ who's doing the work in and through us, and prayer is one of the primary ways in which we are involved in that work.
Yeah, I think John Bunyan's famous for this statement: you can do a lot of work after you pray, but you really can't do anything until you've prayed, anything that the Lord would bless. Mm-hmm. And so that's a crucial thing, the prayer ministry of the church. So that's good.
It makes me think of my dear mom as she was in her late 80s. After my dad had passed away, I just knew that every day she was praying for each one of her children and grandchildren by name. And she had a powerful ministry of prayer. So a lot of our older saints have that vital ministry of prayer. And young moms, we can pray. And we also, even practically, it's been sweet having a prayer time every Sunday morning before church. If you guys are not aware, 8 a.m. in the library, come join us. Everybody's invited. And that's been a really sweet time to just give Sunday mornings.
I think another good service opportunity that takes almost no time is when you're here on Sunday mornings, look for one person that you don't know. Maybe they're a church member who's been here longer than you. Maybe it's their first day here. If you don't know them, go say hello. And that that's just a great way to practice hospitality as a church. We want folks to know that they're welcome and loved, and it's an opportunity to make a new friend or to get to know somebody, even if, you know, if that hour and a half on Sunday morning is the only time that you can commit to the body. Well, use it really well in that way.
So maybe one more thing to talk about in serving is there are people who have special seasons in life, and they feel like they don't fit the normal, you know, flow of a church, of families. So I think specifically of singles, widows, widowers. How can we serve singles and widows? How can singles and widows serve the church?
Yeah, in some ways, it's a great season to serve. I know when I was single, which was for longer than I would have liked, but it was worth it. I got Laurie in the end, so I win.
Yeah.
But I had a long time of being single in church and being freer to serve and to be a part of more ministries. I don't do nearly as much in the church now as I did when I was single, just because a lot of my service now is to my wife and my kids, and I'm so grateful for that. But there were things that I could do as a single person that I can't do now.
What did people do to serve you? What were things that were a blessing to you when you were single?
I was blessed not just to have other single friends in the church that we got to hang out. There were married couples who just had me over and didn't make me feel awkward I didn't ever feel like a third wheel or anything, just welcoming me into their home. I was a bachelor. Sometimes they're like, why don't you bring some laundry and we'll help you with that. I had some older men in the church who invested in me, just teaching me how to do things. I had men say, hey, you know, you want to learn how to hang some drywall? You might need to do that someday. And so I would get to spend time with these men working on projects. Sometimes they just needed an extra hand. Sometimes it was more about teaching me a new skill. But I got to spend a lot of time with men, and we talked about the Bible in those seasons as well. That was a real encouragement to me that I think has helped me better minister and better be a friend to single folks mm-hmm. now.
We have some widows, some older women in our church that are walking around, and they are just gold mines of godliness and wisdom. And so younger women would benefit from befriending them, inviting them over, and just asking them, what was it like when you were raising kids? And how did you love your husband when it was hard? And how is Jesus sufficient for you now in this season where you are without the love of your life? And you'll be blessed.
Mm-hmm. So, John, one of the things that you have been talking about on this practical area of serving is serving across the church. And you've mentioned to me that there are places that people don't necessarily see, but it's really vital we have help there. How do you think through those things?
There are a ton of places that people don't see that are incredibly vital, whether it's, you know, changing diapers in the nursery or, you know, showing up on, you know, yard work days to help take care of the grounds. There's lots of things that happen. There are folks that come and fold bulletins. All of these things that happen are really important and unseen.
Yeah, sometimes the things, this is at the pastoral administrative level, sometimes the things that are the greatest service actually are just small amounts of things that we can really count on. You know, this half hour a week that we can really count on, or this hour, and it's all behind the scenes. And that the consistency over a small service sometimes is, mm-hmm. is more valuable than a big public upfront kind of thing.
Our heart for our church is that people would find the family that is the church when they come here, meaning they find their connection and truly be known, like John was talking about. And one of God's ways of producing that kind of connection is through service. You get to know the people you serve with, and you can become fast friends that way. So there's another of the benefits of jumping in and serving. You'll yeah. find your friends.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you build the best relationships with the people you serve with.
Mm-hmm. Not every time, but yeah. it's a great way to find yeah. other people in the church to get to know.
Okay, great. Thanks, John. Thank you, Linda, for coming in.
My pleasure.
Well, we have just heard some general principles and even some specific applications about serving. One of the ways that we always need serving, especially to serve our families, is in the area of children's ministry. And we want to hear from Jenny Wash about some upcoming needs, ways that you can make an eternal impact by bringing God's truths and a loving disposition to kids, loving heart. So let's hear from Jenny.
All right. Well, I'm here with Jenny Wash. First, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Jenny Wash, and I'm the Family Ministries Coordinator here at FBC, which means part of my job is to find the volunteers for children's ministry, Sunday school in the morning, and discovery in the evening, and just provide support for youth ministry.
So what are the needs in children's ministry right now?
We have many needs. Strictly thinking of Sunday school, Sunday mornings, first and second hour, K through second grade. We have a lot of holes, people moving in and out, going to the Valley Church plant, or deciding to step down and doing different ministries. And the ultimate goal is to open up a kindergarten classroom, and so I need teachers for that. And
So right now, K through second is all combined.
Right.
And the goal would be to separate those out into individual grades.
Yeah, and like individual grades. At least kindergarten, and then first and second can stay together.
Gotcha.
If that's easiest. And then we have an opportunity for a three-year-old teachers, helpers for first hour. I'd love to separate the twos and threes back into the three-year-olds having their own classroom as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that is also a need.
Cool. So other than Sunday morning, what are some of those other needs?
Discovery, Wednesday evening, starting in the fall. We also have childcare, which we provide childcare for infant through 5 years old.
On Wednesday nights.
On Wednesday nights.
Gotcha.
Just to help those families that are serving, as well as the growth groups
yeah.
who are meeting.
So there was also potentially some need in youth ministry.
Right. So Ian is here to lead the youth ministry, and we see that we need more female leaders.
Okay.
We have quite a few male leaders helping the boys, but there's only a few females to help with a lot of girls. Okay. So,
that's cool to hear there's so many guys stepping up to invest in these younger men.
It's great.
It's really cool. Uh-huh. So tell me, who can volunteer? Is it just anyone or?
So anyone who is a baptized member of FBC and has filled out some paperwork, but anyone. We would love high school kids, maybe junior, senior level, college students that have some extra time to spare, because I know they're busy too in the evenings.
You know, I remember being in college and I thought I was busy, and then I had children and I realized I wasn't busy. So college students, so I love you, but you're probably not actually as busy as you think you are.
So true. And there's just a fun dynamic in Sunday mornings. And I have a couple of college students that are helping, and they're just very diligent, and they want to be there, and the kids love them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grandparents, parents with kids in the grade school, K through second, you can help in the same classroom as your child, if that's helpful. That's what Chris and I did. We got in the classroom with our twin girls,
Maria
and Michaela. So started there.
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
In the 3-year-old room.
Yeah, very cool. So let's say I'm interested. I want to serve. What's the first step? What do I need to do?
So contact me. You can contact me by email, jwash@fbchurch.org. But there's a process. We have some paperwork to go through and those things.
Although it's all digital nowadays,
isn't
it?
All digital.
Yes.
The ministry application for all ministries. So I just think anyone who has a heart to serve children and who likes to hang out with kids, you don't have to be actually a main teacher. We also need helpers.
Mm-hmm.
Subs, just to, if you can only do it twice a month, that's always helpful for people that can't make it to teach or be there with the kids.
So you're saying there's basically some flexibility for having some sort of rotating positions.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So rotating would be great. And it just kind of, we would share the load as far as.
Share the load.
Share the load.
To quote Samwise the Brave.
And also it's an opportunity for the seasoned teachers to maybe come alongside some newer teachers to kind of mentor them and kind of see and show them how to teach and what it's like to be in the classroom.
Yeah.
Great, solid teachers that would really come alongside someone really easily to help them gear up for the fall. I just like to accommodate as best I can to train you, and we will have a couple trainings in August, 2 optional days. If you can't make one, you can.
Yeah,
there's another.
It's a Sunday and a Wednesday, right?
Sunday and a Wednesday.
In August.
Late August.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Jenny.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me, Seth.
Right, this coming week, we are continuing in the book of Luke, and we are at the point in the book of Luke where Pontius Pilate comes back to the Jewish leaders and the crowds and gives his verdict. And he can't be more emphatic that neither he nor Herod found any reason for Jesus to be punished or killed for treason. And yet at the same time, the people almost develop into a mob mentality and shout for our Lord's death. Mm. And in the end, Pilate chooses to take Barabbas, the guilty murderer, and send the innocent one to the cross. And it's a very powerful picture of what our Lord was willing to do. And I think a handful of things were really important about it. One of those is to see our place in the narrative. Historically, the Barabbas going free acts as a kind of parable of our condition. So in a sense, we are the guilty and condemned, and Jesus and his work set us free. He took our punishment. And so we're going to see that in almost a parable form. We don't ever hear from Barabbas himself, mm-hmm. but we see this happen.
I'd never thought of the parable of, I never like put the connection together, the parable with Barabbas. We don't want to identify with Barabbas. Like we don't want to, we're not the murderer, but really that's a good point that we really are like Barabbas.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it has two functions. One, to show that it was a travesty of justice. They really did let a murderer go free because he's a convicted murderer, and they really did condemn Jesus, who is innocent. So there's that power in it. And then it also gives you that picture or that parable. So that's one big takeaway, is to watch what substitutionary atonement looked like in story form. Then the other key one has to do with Jesus being innocent. So a Passover lamb had to be pure. A Passover lamb had to be physically pure. Our Passover lamb in Jesus had to be morally pure. And there are four different statements about Jesus' innocence right here in this passage. So everybody in the world knew that Jesus was actually innocent and sinless. And that's the kind of Savior we have going to the cross for us. So it's a powerful passage, familiar to a lot of you, but it's something we need to see and feel as we go through it. So I'm looking forward to the weekend. Well, that's a wrap for Faith Matters for the day. Thanks for joining us. If you have any questions or if you have any suggestions for future topics, please email us at info@fbchurch.org. And we would encourage you to subscribe to this and share it with your friends. We want to get the word out, especially within the church, because this is another avenue where we can encourage and build up the church. So we'd encourage you to share it with your friends in the church and let this be a blessing to them.
Thanks for joining us.